This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Okay, Jerry Jones gave a big old vote of confidence to Leighton Vander Esch. Take a listen. We'll get his thoughts on that, on, you know, would you have still traded for Bennett if Tyrone Crawford had not been hurt? And what else? Oh, have you ever had to tell a player he couldn't play because of an injury when he was begging to get in the game? That's an interesting one for a general
manager. No, we go the other way, actually.
Yeah.
We question their toughness and get them to go.
I know. I'm really interested in the answer to that. Let's do a radio.com rewind here on this Jerry Jones audio. And you can do the same thing with the app on your smartphone. Just open up the radio.com app and bam, you can go right back to the beginning of the entire Jerry Jones interview or the beginning of any hour, any segment you might have missed here on The Fan.
Streaming.
You can tell Chris Arnold's riding shotgun, planting the flag. Lucius Alexander's at Master Control, keeping the Gators down on a Friday. Jeff Cavanaugh, myself, Gavin Dawson, along with you. We are the nation. Okay, do you expect Leighton Vander Esch to play on the field on Sunday? Here's Jerry.
Oh, yeah, I do. And he's practicing, and he's feeling better. And and no one has been chomping at the bits anymore and anxious to get back out there than he does. And, you know, I've reviewed, as many have, reviewed the play that he got his had to have his situation or his injury occurred. And I don't know when I've seen an any more awkward position to have pressure or to have weight or to have a lick done and the way his body was when he got it. And so I don't look for him to be getting in those kind of spots very often.
Yeah, it was like the last play of Tony's career, kind of, where the back is just kind of depressed and the spinal's involved. And
I thought he broke the heck out of his neck. And he's right back at it. Good for him. All right.
How did he hurt his neck, though? His neck is wider than his head.
He doesn't have one.
He's got a super neck.
Yeah, that's
it's
what
just an extension
me.
Of his back.
Right. He hurt his upper back.
Wolf collar.
He doesn't own a neck. A neck, at least according to my definition, is not as big as your head.
Yeah.
His is bigger.
Yeah, it looked like, what was that old guy? We Takeo Spikes.
Yes.
He might have been the king of the trapezius neck. That was incredible.
What lift is that, Lucius? What do I do to get that? Do I just get the lightweights and lift my arms
up? Yeah, just like that. And you got to do some neck exercises, though.
Like specific isolated neck?
Yeah, I don't, because Mike Tyson's neck sits at the side of his shoulders.
Right.
Yeah, I need something right there. I don't know what that is. I've tried it my whole life. Look at my neck.
Yeah.
I feel like if you can put your hands around your neck, you're a wimp.
Yeah.
You
beat up.
Pencil neck.
Yeah,
you can Vander Esch's shoulder has some weird lines that connect to his ears.
For real. Like
that's
that's the beautiful stuff, man.
You're ready for MMA right there. You can't choke me out.
I want that.
I'll break your form if you try to choke me out with this.
Yeah, you got to go two-handed and choke somebody if they got a big neck. You beat up. Now you're exposed all through here.
Yeah.
You link your hands together to get around that neck. You can't really lock it in.
Pretty badass looking. So Leighton Vander Esch back in the mix. That's obviously a good thing. It was interesting. We talked with Stephen Jones about 45 minutes ago, and we were peppering him with quite a few questions about this linebacker group. And, you know, he was pretty consistent with, hey, we're blessed with depth, and all these guys are team first, and we're going to keep going with the rotation. And, you know, that he kind of ventured down a path that we're going to keep Sean Lee healthy by keeping him fresh and all that. And I guess my preference would be, if you do get to the playoffs, I would like to see Sean Lee out there about 75% of the time. You think that's too much? Is he still the best linebacker? Isn't he still the best linebacker? So if you get to the playoffs.
I almost feel like that would be a week-to-week question, because today my answer is uh-huh, because we watched him last week and he was dominant. He was
two
definitely,
games in a row.
Right. He was definitely their best linebacker. I guess I would say yes. We don't know every week because he doesn't get that opportunity every week. And I think it's harder to be the best linebacker on the field when you're playing 25% of the snaps. I think there's something to knowing you're going to be out there every play.
He works into a lather.
Right. Being into the flow of the game as opposed to, all right, here's your drive. You got four plays. Go get them, Tiger. You tell me that, and I'm like, okay. I know what my job is, but I got to make something happen.
I'm going to get that football.
I'm only getting 11 plays today. Right. I'm getting four tackles, two tackles for loss, and a pick.
That's
so
him.
I'm doing some guessing.
That's
hard
him.
To let the game come to you that way, isn't it?
Because he gets hurt so much, though, you got to do some load management. That's the only thing I can think of because he plays so well. Now, what's making him look so good right now is that Vander Esch, I'm just going to keep it real, he hasn't played as well the first part of this season as he did last season. Last season, he was playing so well, there were actually Cowboy fans and Tolos saying, no, Sean Lee's going to interfere with his growth. Do not play Sean Lee at all.
Yeah.
Cut him. Cut him. Do not even bring him back. And right now, Van Der Esch and Jalen Smith, remember the month of September, they weren't doing anything.
No.
And then, I mean, so seriously, Sean
Lee had a couple
Lee,
of good games in October, though.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It started getting better and better, but that's the difference. If Van Der Esch had been on fire the start of the year, and you have Sean Lee who's on fire right now, you'd say, oh, well, we got to figure out something. But right now, Sean Lee looks really, really good.
And what's the difference in Sean Lee getting people situated and helping them diagnose things? You know, I don't know. I'm not completely willing to give up on what was the fact in 2017 that you take Sean Lee off the field, you're giving up an additional 7 points that game. And I don't think we need to go that far because the drop off from Lee to those players was much, much bigger than the drop off from Lee to these players. But, you know, I don't know. These are we're now, you know, keeping teams under 20 here the last two times out and against a little bit better of a, you know, competition than earlier.
And if what Steven said to Chris's question is accurate, I don't think there will ever be a more RKG than Sean Lee. You'll never find a more kind of guy than a guy who he says he came up to them. Like, hey, guys, good morning. Nice to see you on a Monday. I'd like to take a pay cut. I'm sorry I've been hurt so much. I'd like to take less money and help these young kids.
That's a throwback. You know, the only other time I'd really heard it like that was I read that Kermit Washington book, The Punch. Remember when he punched the hell out of Rudy Tomjanovich? There's a big book on it. I think John Feinstein might have wrote it or somebody. I don't know who wrote it. But, yeah, he almost killed him.
Mm-hmm.
And Kermit felt so bad about it, even though it really wasn't his fault. I mean, it was a brawl situation, and Rudy ran up from behind him. And Kermit Washington, like, was a trained amateur boxer when he was a teenager. So he just turned on the guy and drilled him, right, like a good boxer would in a brawling situation.
I know how to punch. I have no glove on. This is going to hurt.
Yeah, and you know, he caught him real good, and Rudy happened to be running at him, but he felt so bad about getting suspended for the rest of the year that he was trying to give his money back. But it's very, very rare. That's why I said, you know, that's kind of a throwback move.
I try to steal money from the company every chance I get, and I just can't get away with it.
Hell, I tried to get a box of pens and a roll of toilet paper home last
night. For real.
How about cut number 9, though?
You got all the pens, huh?
I actually bought a dozen last night at Office Max. For that exact same issue.
Well, congrats to you, because yesterday when we made the wall of takes, I heard somebody say that Roy ordered Post-its off Amazon.
Yeah.
Like, is that not the epitome of modern us?
Yes.
All right, guys, I need Post-its. What am I going to do?
Well,
order them, and then they'll be here tomorrow as opposed to go to the store.
Listen, our stock price is up 60 cents today. You want to eat into that?
Oh, man, it's been running all summer, cuz.
We got budgets to maintain.
I've been watching. It's running.
Really?
Woo. Oh.
We're doing it.
Oh, yeah, we're nice.
High stepping.
Yeah, we might get short attack pretty soon.
Speaking of high stepping, Deion's in the news today, and Jerry was asked about that. Maybe we'll give you a Florida State content a little bit later on here in the Jeep Bag Nation. Okay, here's the answer. Have you ever had to tell a player you can't play because of injury when he's begging to get in there? Here we go.
Yeah, I don't know of any that have not wanted to get back out there. I will never forget the experience I had with Jason Witten. When they were looking for the clearance from any doctor that would clear him to play with his lacerated spleen. And I'll never forget when we were visiting with the doctors that were finally involved that cleared him. And I'll never forget that experience. But he basically, when I asked, well, how much does this game mean to you, Saturday? And he said, well, it means everything. It could be the last time I could ever be on the field. They're all like that, is what he said. And so the doctor said, well, I'm going to clear you because he said, I think your risk is certainly acceptable there. And, of course, we're talking about a guy that you weren't supposed to be back out there for 6 weeks, and he had been out two and was back out there with a lacerated spleen.
Something wrong with athletes. Something wrong. People love the game too much.
Wasn't it?
People love the game too much. I can't walk because I liked football too much, even when I was done playing in pads.
Right.
And like, could you imagine that? Because if you read into what Jerry's saying, what happened is the doctor was like, no, you can't play. And they were like, okay, find another doctor. And they went to the next doctor. He's like, no, you can't play. And they're like, okay, find another doctor. And eventually they found a doctor
who was in New York.
You want me to say yes? Yeah. All right. I guess some padding and sure.
I mean, you do pay doctors a lot. They should tell you what you want to hear sometimes. You
know? But didn't know that sounded like he's like, we finally found a doctor. Yeah. Well, the way he said it was, we finally found the ones we were going to work with, which meant the one who said yes.
Wink, wink.
And is there, do you think, Chris, some subtle sort of influencing here when Jerry's talking about that? If any player's listening, he's setting the standard for how you act if you're hurt, because all players are willing to run in the field with a broken ankle if you'll let them. You got to hold them all back. And boy, we had this one, he had to go to 20 different doctors, you know, because that's just that's how much players on the Cowboys want to make sure they're out.
He's saying that. Yeah. And you know, it's not all of them.
No. There's Jay Ratliff.
All I can tell you is sometimes Jeff's been in those locker rooms, man. It's about, are you a coward or not? They always said, know the difference. Coaches always said, know the difference between pain and injury. Is it pain or are you injured? And so you're like, if your team is good, you're like, man, I need to be out there for boys. And if you're not, you know, like, okay.
So Jay Ratliff was a Warrior, and he played injured a lot and dinged. But in the end.
He just drank it off his mind.
But at the end, Jerry was trying to influence him because he was hurt, and he was like, I can't go in there. And there was like a showdown at the locker room.
Jerry's Jay, you are the first we've ever had.
That's it.
That didn't want to go in the game. Are you some kind of a P word? He's like, okay, we have to fight.
Yeah,
or you, all balled up.
You at least have to get out of my workspace here, sir.
Right.
10, would you have still traded for Michael Bennett if Tyrone Crawford hadn't gotten hurt?
Yes. It was unique. His skill set was certainly one that Bill Belichick and the Patriots thought highly of because they signed him from Philadelphia in the offseason as a free agent. But as it turns out, Bill's doing a lot with linebackers and a lot with stand-up guys is a better way of saying it, probably. And his statement was, look, we just had the numbers with us were linebackers, and that's the way we're playing defense. And Michael's just not getting out there as much as he wants to and to be content. So it was an opportunity for us, and we took it. But, he's well-established as to what he brings, and he's well-established with his production, both at Seattle as well as Philadelphia.
So the Cowboys have missed with a couple of draft picks the last few years, but this is going to go down as a couple of steals. Like, unless something really weird happens with Robert Quinn or Michael Bennett where they commit arson at the Star or something, unless something weird happens, it's going to go down as you stole a couple of really good defensive linemen.
Yeah. And one of the best five receivers in the game last year.
Yeah.
For a 27th overall pick. Sure.
Yeah.
Good times.
That 27th overall pick's playing pretty well, but he's a running back, so he doesn't really count.
Shots fired again. Oh,
yeah, that's
Josh
right.
Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, he is a good player there, 27. Hey, man, you can get a really good running back there at 27.
Yes, you can.
Can't usually get a good wide receiver at 27, but maybe this year with how
you
want to
make
this...
sure you get a good running back. You go top five.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. That'll absolutely get the job done. So good stuff there. Fish is going to have some insight here on the Deion Sanders story. We'll get Fish's thoughts on that as he's, you know, talking about maybe being a coach at Florida State University. That would be really interesting. He has done quite a bit of high school coaching, right? And he's obviously been involved in mentoring and a hell of a player. And I think
he's like a legend at Florida State.
Yeah.
So I think they're thinking, this is what I'm thinking. They're thinking, okay, he's going to be able to recruit the best of the best in Florida.
He'll be the face.
He'll be the face. We just surround him with some assistant coaches. That's what they think in theory.
Man, the NCAA be watching them for violations.
Of course.
I mean, didn't your school get shut down, sir?
And not only, that, ask Dez what happened when he had lunch with Deion.
They're going to be watching Deion.
He got suspended from Oklahoma State.
There's a little stuff in there, but if Florida State doesn't have any problem with that, there's no reason to believe he couldn't be successful because of what you just mentioned right there. I mean, Kingsbury fails in college and goes to the pros because you can do what you specialize in and then be the face and the talker.
Right.
And let other experts coach their crafts.
He will close the deal. And plus, he knows the craft, too, because right now I think he's like the offensive coordinator at Cedar Hill High School. He really does. He does. He really does care, and he knows the game. So I think, in theory, it could possibly work out, especially because he's absolutely a god in Florida.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a huge thing right there. I mean,
somewhere Mike Bassett is punching his pillow, though. I promise you. When I see the news break, I was like, oh, word? I said, man, Mike is going to get mad. Then I started scrolling down the timeline just a little more. Then I was like, oh, there it is. Mike's mad.
Mike was tweeting about it.
Mike ain't feeling that Deion, man.
No, he's not.
But 3 years in, I do think you'd probably end up on some probations.
Well, it's possible. Sure.
You got to take chances.
It is college football.
Well,
That stuff's happening.
That's what they do.
You know, some guys are going to get investigated. Okay, Mike Fisher is joining us next here in the G-Bag Nation. All right, welcome back, Nation. It's time for Mike Fisher. Wow, just an absolute treasure trove here, a cornucopia of Cowboys topics as they get set to take on the Vikings. I'd say you're looking at 12 topics, and we got 14, 15 minutes, so it'll be a good discussion here with Fish. Segment's brought to you by Classic Chevrolet. It's brought to you by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the office of Frankel & Frankel. 214-333-3333, official lawyers of the Tolo, principal office, Dallas, Texas. And here he is. He's at Fish Sports on Twitter. And a good afternoon, Mike. How you doing?
Outstanding. A couple quick items for you. Our guy spoke to Dennis Smith Jr. this morning. He is in Dallas. He is not planning on playing for the Knicks tonight in mourning over the passing of his stepmother. But I think the Knicks urged him to come on in from North Carolina anyway, so he's here. And expects to be an observer tonight as Kristaps Porzingis gets to go against his old Knicks buddies. And then Morris, their power forward, he did an interview today. Said, "Well, I know how to stop Kristaps. So I'm gonna lean on him." And I'm like, "Well, there's a creative idea," because that's Morris is 6'8", Porzingis 7'3" and 242 pounds. So yeah, go ahead and try to lean on him. Porzingis thinks he's off to a terrible start. He says, "I haven't helped us at all in 4-2. And he hasn't shot as well as he can, but he's averaging, General, 20 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2.5 blocks. So even a bad Porzingis has been okay and maybe better tonight against his old friends, the Knicks.
Does he give anybody, like, depression vibes?
He's very introspective.
Okay.
And, you know, we joke around about this, but sometimes it's better to be an athlete. Sometimes it's better to be dumb.
Huh.
Yeah. Then, you know,
he's a thinker, isn't he?
He's a thinker.
Yeah. And the thinker will ask the coach, "Well, I mean, I'll go tackle the tree if you want me to, coach, but why?" And by the time you get an answer to why I'm making you tackle the tree, it's dark outside, and now we have to go home and practice is over. So sometimes it's good to just not think too much and just play. And Porzingis, of course, is a bright guy, and maybe tonight against the Knicks he'll just play, and I bet you he'll be just fine.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a huge story nationally, isn't it, with New York obsessed about this. Their fans are still irate. The media is all about it. And, you know, I think they should be, because if this is bad from Porzingis and it's going to get a whole lot better, then that's going to be a major pain in their butts for about a decade.
Yeah, never forget.
Yeah, if you're 5-2, And he feels like he hasn't contributed anything. Meanwhile, the Knicks are 1-7, and nobody's contributing anything there. Then, yeah, I think we see the direction of the two franchises.
Okay, so what's your top Cowboy storylines going right now?
I think we have to touch on Leighton Vander Esch and his plans to play on Sunday, and then how you play him. How do you mix him in with Jalen Smith, and how do you mix him in with Sean Lee? And then I think you guys, as you so frequently do, supplement that with your Stephen Jones interview today. When your interview was over, I had a reputable journalist text me, and he goes, "Sean Lee went in and volunteered for a pay cut." I go, "I guess so." He goes, "Is that a story?" I go, "Like, does everybody know that? Is that news?" And I said, "Yeah, I guess so." So G-Bag Nation and 105.3 The Fan have done it again. This is why all the other media outlets listen and pay attention to this media outlet. Amari Cooper certainly is there too, and I don't think he did very much today, but I think we've kind of established something with Amari. He's gonna get through Wednesday, and he's gonna get through Thursday, and then he's gonna dominate you on Sunday, as he has for most of his career now in Dallas. The Vikings, by the way, despite all their talent, and their roster is loaded, I think. They give up more completions to wide receivers than anybody in football.
Wow.
128 of them so far.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an opportunity there, not only for Amari Cooper, but others. But obviously, Cooper is the top of the food chain for Dallas, and he should be fine for Sunday night.
It's Mike Fisher here with us in the G-Bag Nation. You sent me a note about nepotism. Where are you going with that?
Okay, so I touched on this with Roy White this morning.
I heard it was great.
I'm hosting on Monday morning with Sean Sharif. So I texted Sean. I said, we're going to get into this Monday. He said, no, we're not. So, you know, since he's the program director of that show, then I just have to ride on his coattails. But I thought it'd be fun to bring up here.
So it wasn't good enough for the morning show, but you can pawn it off on us.
I'll dump it here, yeah.
Time filler.
All right.
But tell me if you don't think this is a good one. I think it is.
Yep.
I'm the program director. I'm the assistant program director of the Fish Report, so it seems like my judgment counts. So Nolan Ryan is shown the door with the Astros, right?
Mm-hmm. He kind of left after they demoted his boy.
Okay, and with him goes his boy.
Yep.
And so Roy says, well, you know, Mr. Crane, the owner, is replacing Ryan and Ryan with Crane and Crane. He's bringing in his son. And Roy says, well, that's nepotism. I say to Roy, well, I said, it's the exact same nepotism that got Reed Ryan the job.
Yeah, Nolan's name.
How did Reed Ryan get a job in Major League Baseball? How did he get a foothold in baseball at all?
Nolan.
And Roy's saying, yeah, but he played minor league baseball. But Roy, I don't mean to pick on Roy. I love Roy.
Come on, Roy.
You guys can debate if you want to. He was a 17th round pick. So he was not a super premier high school, college superstar. He played one full year in minor league baseball at single A as a pitcher and was 0-10.
Mm.
The next year, he became an owner of the The Round Rock Express.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how did 20-year-old Reed Ryan become an owner of a minor league baseball team?
That's an awful difficult act to pull off there.
Why are you so mad at a dad for helping out his child, Fish?
I'm for dads helping out their child to the point where I think now we can kind of say maybe Jerry hiring Steven wasn't a bad idea. Maybe it's kind of worked out. Go ahead, General.
No, I'm all for dunking on Roy White. And I only think nepotism's a problem, though, if you're getting somebody that's unqualified. And I think Stephen Jones is hella qualified. I think Reed Ryan did a great job, and we'll see with this Crane guy.
Okay, but Stephen wasn't qualified in 1989.
No, but he didn't step into COO role, did he?
Well, he was kind of assistant to the assistant GM. I mean, he's pretty important.
Yeah. The nepotism thing is really interesting because sometimes you'll find guys whose last name matches and that's how they got their job and they're not good at it. But I think in a lot of cases, it also means you're more well-equipped to get that job than anybody else because you grow up with it.
Yeah, it's the family business.
I think that too. And doesn't that count for young Crane, who apparently was the CEO of some business? Young Crane's probably got a business mind. I don't even know how old he is. And I'm not poking fun at Reed Ryan, but this kind of goes to, and this is what I'm trying to tell Roy, there's a lot of people, a lot of us, who think, to use a baseball parlance, that they think that we hit a triple when we're actually born on third base.
Ooh.
Nolan Ryan's son was born on third base. Had Nolan Ryan been a plumber or a soccer player or a doctor, his son more than likely would have been a plumber or a doctor or not a professional baseball player. And so we think that we did it. There's so many of us that think, oh, I'll tell you what I did, Ganro. I pulled myself up on my bootstraps, and I hit some hard times, and I just went out for basketball, and it was my hard work. Well, yeah, but isn't your dad 6'8"? Yeah. Well, don't you think you being 6'8" might have been part of it? Yeah. Well, then you didn't do it yourself. Your dad did it by making you 6'8".
Yeah.
And so I'm not a big believer in I'm a self-made man. I think we're all made by nature and nurture. And that goes for Stephen Jones, that goes for Reed Ryan, and that goes for young Mr. Crane, who might be the finest businessman in all the land since he's Mr. Crane's son.
Now, for me, Fish, I am not a self-made man. I was in the business of dropping out of my fourth college in 5 years. until my dad stepped in and got me a job in radio.
See, that's pretty epic. Nepotism,
see,
yeah.
There's absolutely a lot of dads. There's a lot of people getting by on their dad's coattails. I think we ought to investigate the quid pro quo.
And Jerry would probably say he's standing on his dad's shoulders. Isn't that how he put it? Yeah, maybe a quid pro quo, though. I hear you.
Investigate. Jerry thinks his dad is the greatest salesman of all time.
He may be.
So where do you think Jerry learned to be the greatest salesman
from
of
his
all
dad.
Time? So, you
the
know,
late
I'm
great
not,
Mr.
I'm
Jones.
Not, yeah, I'm not ripping anybody. I'm just acknowledging that, you know, if it wasn't for my mom and my dad and my environment, I wouldn't be me. Chris Arnold wouldn't be Chris.
Yep.
Ryan wouldn't be Ryan, et cetera. And by the way, God bless Nolan Ryan. He's an iconic figure, but I'm already seeing some Rangers people saying, well, why don't we bring him back here? Didn't he want to leave?
No, he wanted to keep his job and his responsibility. It was taken from him and given to somebody else, and so he opted to leave.
They downsized
That's
him.
A very – you're very – Jeff, you are a sweet, sweet young man.
Thank you.
He wanted to be the king. And
yes.
And when I told him you can't be the king, he said, then I'll leave.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
And it's clear, you know, he's got a Midas touch of some kind, or that's a hell of good luck that he's been going on. If Houston tanks now, then – after a year, I think we should demand Nolan Ryan be put in a very prominent position with this Rangers organization.
Some kind of way.
I knew there was somebody on that show that was going to go there, and that's a heck of a segment for next year.
Thank you. You like how much emphasis I put on there to let people know I'm really passionate about it?
What up?
I love it. It's a good tease for next year.
Okay. How about what's going on with Dez?
I'm going to co-host Monday morning with Sean, and at 7:20 we will have Dez News.
Okay.
And I don't want to oversell. I'd rather undersell and overdeliver. But my feeling on it, and I talked to him a little bit yesterday. I think that he's interested in seeing if anybody's interested, which is way different from being demanding or being boisterous about it or being demonstrative about it. I think this is exploratory for Dez, and I would just say, and we'll have more on this Monday, I think more than at any time in his life, he's prepared for whatever answer he gets from the NFL. If the answer he gets from the NFL is, we don't see it, buddy, or we just don't like the way you tweet, or whatever their answer is, I think he's in a best place ever as a father, as a businessman, to accept the answer, and we'll have more on all that Monday morning.
What you got on Tank Lawrence right now?
Well, there's two Tank Lawrences now. One is a very polite DeMarcus. And one is my old friend Tank, and polite DeMarcus, because his mom told him, she said, you know, I love you, honey, but why do you swear all the time? I turn on TV and you're always ranting and raving and swearing and saying, I bleeping hate cats. Now, I think both DeMarcus, polite DeMarcus, demure DeMarcus, we'll call him, and tumultuous Tank, I think they both hate cats. But you should see Lawrence in the locker room today. I mean, he was whispering his answers. He was so polite. He was whispering his answers. He was very deferential to how good Kirk Cousins is and how good Dalvin Cook is and how good the Vikings are. So I think we're going to see Tank replaced by his evil twin on Sunday. And Tank Lawrence will play on Sunday. And then meeting the media, polite, demure DeMarcus will come back out again, the two tails of Tank.
Yeah, how do you balance, you know, being the person that your parents really want you to be and you pretend to be when you're around them with, being your own man? You know what I'm saying?
Right. And I think, Tank, obviously, in his private life, Tank, he's a father and he's a husband and he's a son and his charitable work is outstanding. But his locker room persona, especially with the media, as we all know, is I'm going to brag my way to inspiring my teammates to go live up to my brags.
And it's very entertaining. It's kick ass.
Yes.
You know, what's funny is, and I think it'll be a good test on Sunday. He has his own production team put together a social media video that really looks like a 30-second commercial that would run on NBC, complete with like the time of tonight's game and the NBC logo and all of it.
Yeah. Well, he's got a brand manager.
Okay. Well, in those videos, it's bragging Tank. It shows him, you know, I'm going to New York, and it shows him he's bigger than the Empire State Building, you know, and it shows him being tumultuous Tank. And I wonder if this week he's going to produce a video and it's going to show him, I don't know, petting a kitten.
I think he's got to compromise and be, you know, maybe not cussing tank or making fun of the other team tank, but you can still brag on yourself without cussing. You know what I'm saying? I think there's a fine line in there.
Yeah, when I send in that audio to Troy Hughes and he has to cut it up, I certainly think he would do Troy Hughes and myself a favor by just saying effing cats.
No, it's better with the bleeps.
It is better. It's pretty good with the bleeps.
What do you have on Deion here? We got 30 seconds before we got to go.
Okay, I've got 100 Deion stories. Some of them are good. Some of them are not so good. They're all funny. Chris, I know you have the same.
Yep.
But the idea that Deion Sanders is going to be the head coach at Florida State, the head football coach, I just go back to the best story that I know about Deion, and it has to do with 105.3 The Fan. As you guys know, he co-hosted a Monday night show for a year with Sean Sharif, right?
Mm-hmm.
They went to a bar, big crowded show up.
The Fan Sports Lounge.
Okay. Deion Sanders went the entire year and still to this day does not know the name of the person he co-hosted a radio show with. He wouldn't know Sean Sharif if Sean bit him on the arse. So to me, being a head coach in college football is, it's, you got to be a detail man. There's a billion little things that you have to be in charge of, a billion. And Deion Sanders can't even remember the name of Sean Sharif.
Did I miss something?
For that reason, I'm out.
There he is. He's at
Shark
Fish Sports
Tank.
On
that
Twitter.
Was good.
A Football Friday report.
For that reason, I'm out.
Okay. When we come back, it's usually time for baseball nuggets right here. We want to do some Cowboys phone calls. That sound good to you guys?
Okay.
Yeah, football
okay.
Friday. Yeah.
At 877-881-1053. The Cowboys and Vikings are getting set for a heavyweight bout. Do you have some baseball, though, Jeff, that you wanted to make sure we get
I'll
in
here? No, I'll
tell
you what my idea was to knock out Mike's gambling Friday thing.
Okay.
Pick a couple games against the spread and take some phone calls.
Yeah, let's pick a couple of games against the spread. Then we want your Cowboys phone calls. Have they righted the ship? We asked Steven about that earlier. Is it a must win? KNC was talking about that. That was quite interesting, and a lot of Tolos voted yes. How many wins will they have at the end of the year? I'm going with 11. If you think I'm wrong, call us, and we'll argue. Coming up next on 105.3 The Fan.
Dallas Truck World just got a G-Wagon, a Range Rover, and a Porsche 911. Check out that whole inventory at DallasTruckWorld.com.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Let's gamble on some games, and then we want your Cowboys phone calls here at 877-881-1053. As usually we do this with Mike Fridays at 2:40. We'll do it right here, though. And have we heard from Mike on vacation?
No, I hadn't heard from Mike. I didn't reach out to Mike. I didn't want to because I feel like he wins a lot because he lets me dig my own grave.
Okay.
And so I don't want any part of Mike.
Okay. So would you like me to open up the gambling or do you
Well, I do have two games I like a lot.
Uh-oh.
I have two games I like a lot, Gavin.
So do I.
And you know, when I have my stone cold pick of the week, lock it up and put it in prison for life without parole guaranteed lock of the day week, you're in trouble. I don't have one of those this week, but I got a couple games.
I have my capital punishment lock of the week.
Woo!
By the time you're done betting me on this one, you might as well be dead.
Damn.
You're dead. You're dead to rights.
That's messed up.
I got two of those, as a matter of fact.
I'm riding the Kyler Murray train. I'll take Arizona Cardinals +5 at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I will not offer to bet more than our standard $20 because I don't believe in myself right now.
That's a lot of points for a bad football
team. You got to come back.
What? Yeah, well, yeah, that's the idea, but I'm gonna do it slowly.
Okay.
Because what I do in Vegas is if I get up, I bet bigger, and then I end up way down. And if I go down, I bet bigger to try to catch up, and I end up way down. So I never have figured out the formula. So right now I'm going $20, Arizona +5.
Tampa shouldn't be -5 against Central Florida. You know what I'm saying?
They shouldn't.
That's brutal.
They shouldn't.
I feel like I'm robbed. Good bet.
Yeah,
good bet.
Thank you. Yeah. When Jameis throws his third pick, I'll feel safe.
Arizona's decent now. Okay, you want me to pick now?
Get you one.
This is way too easy. I can't believe bookmakers would screw up this bad.
The bookmakers screwed up. I love that line. The bookmakers are stupid. They don't know what they're doing. They're going to have to downsize Caesars because they are bleeped.
The Steelers are 4-4. They almost beat San Francisco.
Oh, this was my pick.
Okay.
Okay. No. So yeah. Tell me what you're thinking.
The Rams are 3.5-point favorites going into Pittsburgh. I'll take the Steelers plus 3.5 every day of the week and twice on Sunday if you'd like. That's right. It's a double capital punishment.
That's interesting because I wrote down Rams minus 3.5 at Pittsburgh. Yes. So that sounds like a 40.
You see what we're doing over here, CA? It's like taking candy from a baby.
That sounds like
a
40. Okay. You bet on Mason Rudolph. I will bet against him. Okay, let's get it on.
Then I just have one more game before we get to these Cowboys phone calls at 877-881-1053. We did two birds with one stone there.
I'll take the Falcons plus 13.5.
Are you crazy?
I'll never stop believing in Matt Ryan, even at New Orleans.
He's supposed to play too.
I'll just keep believing in Matt Ryan.
I don't want to. That's a huge number. Okay. I would rather not.
Okay.
They play too much defense and run the ball. The 49ers host the Seahawks. San Fran is a 6-point favorite. Vegas not buying Seattle, but I will.
Oh, damn.
Go, absolutely. Russ, go.
Look at that. Thank you very much.
I feel like you made a great pick there, Gavin.
The Steph Curry of the NFL.
That I guarantee you I'll win because I think you're right. So I have San Francisco minus the 6.
All right, yeah.
Okay,
you got it.
Let's get it on.
There's our wagering of the weekend as we head into... Is this week 10 already?
Week 9?
Week 9 of the NFL?
Week 10.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Week 10.
Yeah, Cowboys are 5-3 with the bye there. Yep. It's week 10 of the NFL season is already here. We're into November, and it's time to take your Cowboys phone calls. Instead of baseball nuggets, we thought it was appropriate. You know, if the Rangers want to do something, by all means, we'll break in.
Yeah, we're going to talk about football on a Friday.
Yeah. Have they righted the ship, you guys? That's a good question. We asked Steven that earlier, and he said, well, you've never really righted the ship because it's week to week in the NFL, and I pretty much agree with that. Although I will say I think they've put the worst of them behind them as far as bad luck and poor execution.
I would say they've righted the ship if they beat Minnesota.
Yeah.
Because right now what you've done doesn't quite qualify. Right now what you've done is what you're expected to do for the most part and sometimes not done what you're expected to do. So now is one of those games where you're matched up with an even opponent.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you want me to believe you're back on track, then you whooped the Giants by the end of it anyway, and you give the business to Minnesota, you're on track.
I would say you could still lose to the Vikings after having turned that corner. You know what I'm saying?
Because
they're so
good.
You could still be a good football team and lose at home to Minnesota.
Yeah, it's like if you do the must-win thing, I would have said no. This is not a must-win because if you can beat Detroit and Chicago and Philly then you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a must-win, but it sure would make us feel good.
Yes. I don't want to go back into such a nervous time and looking up in the standings and all that. It's horrifying. Here we go to Chris in Dallas. You're first up here in the G-Bag Nation. What you thinking about these Cowboys right now, Chris?
I'm thinking I need somebody to tell me what in the world they are. You know, 3-3, you know, win 3, lose 3, then you just play the perfect game against two division opponents. And I just need you to tell me, I'm always the optimist. Am I crazy?
I don't think you're crazy at all, man. I think you're right on it.
And I can help you with that. I was saying this a little earlier. I think the defense finally caught up with the offense. The offense got somewhat banged up. Not a good excuse to lose the Jets for any reason, but that's what happened on that game. And I think Kellen Moore's kind of feeling his prime a little bit. He's trusting his decisions more, and I think, therefore, you have that balance again.
I think you're totally right to be optimistic about this team because the nerd stuff, it works at predicting things. And the nerd stuff says that the Cowboys should be at least 5-3. So the Cowboys should be a good team, which means you're right to be optimistic and you're right to go full Ken Carmine Carmen if they don't meet your expectations, as long as your expectations aren't, they better win the Super Bowl.
Right.
Like, if you expect to win the division and then go to the playoffs and be competitive, you have the right expectations for this team. And if they don't meet them, then we yell at stuff.
That's right. Here we go, James in Burlington. You're in the G-Bag Nation here on your home of the Cowboys. What's up with you, James?
Hey, I'm going to go ahead and agree with Jeff from earlier. I like to agree with Jeff a lot.
You're smart.
But this is a must-win, but also not a must-win at the same time.
Oh.
Just mathematically, it's not a must-win because we can still win out the division. But for the confidence of the fans and for the team and of everyone involved with the Dallas Cowboys organization, I think it's a must-win for the confidence going forward because we've got the meat of our schedule going forward, and there's not really a lot more cupcakes coming forward. So, I mean, I think it's
Yes and no on a must-win.
It's a measuring stick because Minnesota's supposed to be good, according to all the observers, and if the Cowboys beat them, that means the Cowboys must be good.
Let me go this way with it. It's not a must-win for the Cowboys players or coaches to achieve the goals they want to this year. It would do wonders. This doesn't make it must-win, but it would do wonders for the morale and the belief of the fan base.
Yep.
That's the big part of it. Like, the Cowboys don't have to have it, but if they get it, the fan base will be in an incredible place for the most part, and if they don't get it, you'll have a lot of skeptics still saying, can't beat a good team.
Yes, and I don't want. I think that's a great take, and I don't want to poo-poo on anybody's take.
You're poo-pooing my take, aren't you? Is that what you're going to do?
Well, I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay, come on with it. No, I'm going to stand up.
In what situations would the Cowboys lose a game and morale would be fine? Don't you have to be like 6-0 or better?
And lose to the Patriots?
Yeah, and then we're like, oh, that's fine.
Probably.
There you go.
Lose anytime.
That's the one.
The NFL. Yeah, that probably. Yeah. It's a good point.
I
think this is because of who the Vikings are and the fact that, I mean, the point spread tells you this is good team versus good team. And if you beat them, I think it silences a lot of the vocal minority who think this team's terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point. Okay, here we go to somebody in San Francisco. Is your name Vegas in San Francisco?
Yeah, that's my nickname.
All right. What's up, Vegas?
I have a couple quick things I wanted to say. First thing was about a year ago, I got into a little back and forth with Jeff, who I greatly respect his football knowledge about Dak versus Jared Goff. I'm not sure if you remember, Jeff.
Hey, a year ago I was right.
A year ago you were right, correct. And I just would like to to point out that I think Dak has made huge improvements, and I just wanted to kind of put that out there. The other thing is, I live in the Bay Area. I'm a diehard Cowboys fan. I'm a Tolo. I listen to your guys' show every single day. It was a huge bummer for you guys to switch slots because I listen in the morning, the time conversion, et cetera. I hope you guys end up in the morning every day at some point. But I wanted to say one thing that I think that, unfortunately, we have been tricked again year after year by seeing our team on paper and thinking we have so much potential. Unfortunately, I'm finally out with Jason Garrett. I've been a huge supporter. All my friends out here give me so much shit.
Oh, we got to let you go there. You can't cuss.
Wow.
Who do you think you are, me, on Wednesday night?
Yeah, you can't cuss like Gavin.
Yeah, and that's the ultimate sports radio thing. See, a year ago, if I told you Goff was better than Dak, it's because it was clearly true. And now today, thanks to Dak taking giant strides and Goff taking a step back, now my opinion is Dak is better, which means I've been right the whole time.
All right, that's a good call and a good justification by you, Jeff.
Thanks.
I think your dead ball's on right once again. Let's take a drive down 67 and head to Johnson County because Lewis in Cleburne is called into the G-Bag Nation.
Joko.
How you doing, Lewis?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I have a unique perspective and a question to ask y'all, and then I'll hang up and listen to y'all's response. I've only been a Cowboys fan since I moved to Texas in 2003. That's where I learned football and fell in love with the sport, so the Cowboys obviously became my team. I was not here for the glory days. I know nothing of that. So almost every year I've been a Cowboys fan has been an absolute tragedy.
Unball your fist.
Now, if you were to take everything before 2003, and let's just say the Cowboys were created and founded in 2003 to today, what would the identity of that franchise be? What would you guys consider that team to be from 2003 to today? They win games they're supposed to lose. They lose games they're supposed to win. And they constantly underachieve. So I just wanted to ask you all that, and I'll listen. Thank you.
I think they would be thought of as just an incredibly average afterthought in the NFL. A lot like the Jason
Chargers.
Garrett. Who?
Chargers, I think, are a good analogy.
And I think Jason Garrett's very comparable to the Marvin Lewis run in Cincinnati,
where
you had a lot of 10 and 11 wins, and you get in the postseason, and you're relevant, but you were never a threat to win it.
I like that.
Jason Garrett is Marvin Lewis that they just kept holding on to.
But the Chargers don't have this type of hype machine, though, behind them.
Exactly.
So that's where the disappointment really comes from.
That's what the deal is. This franchise bar is so high historically that you've got to do better than that.
Okay, Knicks and Mavs in the AAC tonight. It's the biggest story in New York, what they're saying about Porzingis and where it all went wrong. Details on that coming up next in the Nation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.